Police headquarters. Hold the wire, please.
Detective Bureau, Captain McNeil.
This is Patrolman Bishop, Captain. I'm at the subway terminal building. Some guy just killed a man right in front of the building and disappeared into the crowd. Evans and I gave chase but couldn't get him.
Certainly. All right, phone a description into radio. I'll send Berger down to take charge.
Right.
What's up, Captain?
Shooting in front of subway terminal. Get a couple of the boys and hop one down there. Round up all the witnesses you can find and report back here.
Right. Oh, there's a man outside waiting to see you.
What does he want?
Don't know, says he wants to see you.
Oh. All right, send him in.
Captain, I'll see you now. Right in here. Thank you. Captain McNeil?
Yes?
I believe you've just had a murder reported.
What about it?
I feel that I might be of assistance.
Our men can handle it.
I see you don't understand me. What I mean, Captain, is I might be able to, well, that is, tell you something about the case.
Were you a witness?
Very much so, Captain.
Come in and sit down, Mr.
Shall we say Brown?
If you wish.
Thank you, Captain.
Have this chair.
Thank you.
As you were saying,
I was saying that I could tell you something of interest about the murder of Andrew Adams.
Adams?
Yes. I believe he's known as Andrew Spiter now.
Go ahead, Mr. Brown. Do you know the man who killed him?
Yes. Although I have my doubts if you'll be able to do anything to him.
Why do you say that?
The answer to that is a long story, Captain. A story you'll find hard to believe. But, as I say, the police will find it very difficult to punish the murderer. John Fleming thought things out very carefully before he killed Andrew Adams. Would you like to hear the whole story?
I would.
Very well. John Fleming, the man who killed Adams, is a rather small man, much the same build as myself. He's no longer young. Years have put their mark on him. Only 2 months ago, he was released from Stonehill Prison.
Oh, ex-convict, huh? Good. We'll have a complete line on him.
Yeah, I think he realizes that. But to continue with my story, John Fleming was a hard-working farmer before his misfortune. He was well thought of in the community, well liked by everyone except one man, a neighbor of Fleming's. This man hated Fleming, and Fleming returned that hatred. One morning, the neighbor's body was found in the burned ruins of his home. 2 bullets were found embedded in the body, and those bullets were traced to the gun of John Fleming. Needless to say, after a trial by a jury, John Fleming was called to face the bar of justice.
Order! Order in the court!
Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
Will you read that verdict?
We find the defendant, John Fleming, guilty of second-degree murder as charged, with a recommendation for mercy.
Second-degree murder.
Order! Order!
John Fleming, will you rise and face the court? You have been duly tried and convicted on a charge of murder in the second degree. The jury has handed the court a recommendation for mercy. Is there anything you wish to say before a sentence is passed upon you?
Nothing, Your Honor, other than to once again maintain that I am innocent of this crime. On the witness stand, I readily admitted the enmity between the deceased and myself, however. I did not kill him. That is all I have to say.
John Fleming, it is the order of this court that you be taken to the state prison at Stonehill and there be imprisoned for a term not to exceed 20 years.
20 years.
And so, John Fleming was convicted of a crime which he strongly maintained he did not commit.
I see. But where does all
this... Where does this connect with your case? I'm coming to that, Captain. John Fleming served 18 years, 2 months, and 3 days of that sentence. At noon on the last day of his confinement, he was called into the office of the warden. The warden was busy.
Oh, come in, Fleming.
You wanted to see me, Warden?
Yes. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Today is the big day for you, Fleming.
Yes, I know, sir.
Today you become a free man. Today your debt to society is paid. Paid in full. You've been a model prisoner, Fleming. Your work in our agricultural department will long be remembered. I'm sorry to see you go, but I trust you'll not be back.
No, sir.
Before you leave, there's one question I'd like to ask you. It caused me great concern since I assumed my duties here as warden. How do you feel about your conviction now?
I am not guilty of the crime with which I was charged and convicted.
I see. Well, you're free, Fleming. Free to go, and may you enjoy the best of luck. Here's my hand.
And so, Captain, John Fleming walked out between the great iron gates of the prison alone. He had a cheap suit of clothes on his back and $12 in his pocket. Yet he resolved to start life anew. Start where he left off.
I don't know just what you're leading up to, Mr. Brown, but you'll have to hurry your story. We've work to do in this department.
I won't take up much more of your time, Captain. Well, Fleming tried to find work. You have my word for that. But luck just didn't break for him. Finally, he came back here to his hometown. No one recognized him. He found a job in a trucking company. It was hard work for an old man. Each evening he'd drag himself home utterly exhausted from the day's work. One evening, he opened the door to his room and found...
Good evening, Fleming.
Adams. You're
alive. Oh, yes, I'm very much alive. Don't stand there staring. Come in.
But
I know you were told I was dead. You were convicted for my murder. You slaved 18 years for it, not knowing that it was alive and prospering.
You mean that...
I mean you were framed, Fleming. Framed by me. I caused you to suffer in that living hell for 18 years because you married the woman I love.
But Mary is...
Yes, I know. Your wife died during the second year of your imprisonment. But no matter. I've had my revenge. I wanted to see you suffer. I wanted to see you in agony, even though it meant burning my home and leaving town for 15 years.
Oh, you fiend.
Be careful, Fleming. I have a gun. I wouldn't hesitate to kill you like I would a dog. I thought perhaps the hardship of prison life would do it for me, but you were too hardy. Never mind. You're dying. Your face shows it. Every movement of your body shows it.
And you came up here to gloat over it, to enjoy my misery. Andrew Adams, I'll...
You can't do anything. Andrew Adams is dead. My name is Spicer. I'm a well-to-do merchant. Nobody would believe you.
But the body?
A body which the authority mistook for mine? Oh, I planned things carefully, my friend. I stole your gun in your absence. The body was that of a tramp who came to my house begging food. I shot him with your gun, poured oil on my house, and disappeared. You can imagine what joy I had reading of your arrest and conviction.
Oh, you...
You haven't long to live, Fleming. I had intended killing you, but I've changed my mind. I shall let you suffer. Suffer the knowledge that I, Andrew Adams, wrecked your life as you tried to wreck mine.
But I didn't.
Oh, I shall leave you now. Leave you in your misery, Fleming. Leave you to ponder on the wreckage you have made of things. You haven't long to live, Fleming.
I can see that you're becoming interested, Captain. We come now to the last scene of this story. John Fleming was left alone to think things out. Prison had dulled his senses. It took him several days to map out his course. Then Fleming took what little money he'd saved and purchased a revolver. Next, he made arrangements to meet Adams at a downtown building. He was waiting when Adams arrived.
Had the nerve to call on me for help, did you? Oh, do you think I'd help you? Do you think I'll give you 1 cent for doctors or medicine?
I didn't come to you for aid, Adams. I came to talk things over with you.
Talk things over? What do I have to talk to you about?
Several things, I believe. First, I want to compliment you upon the planning and executing of such a diabolical scheme to wreak vengeance upon a fellow man. It was a bit of planning as only the devil himself could have accomplished.
You have anything to say to me?
Oh, you're a smart man, Adams. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew that I'd be arrested and convicted for a crime which I did not commit. I believe the irony of the thing amused you. You knew just how everything would happen. You thought it all out in great detail. But there's one thing that you overlooked.
I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did, Adams. You overlooked the fact that a man can only pay once for the same crime. Once and once only. I've paid for your murder, Adams. Now I'm going
no,
to...
No, no, no! You won't!
Where can I find this Fleming?
Why do you want to bother him, Captain? You can't convict him.
I'm not so sure of that.
He's already paid for the crime. Paid in full. He can't be made to pay again.
Yes, but it's not up to me. I'll have to arrest him. Arrest him for the murder of a dead man.
Very well, Captain. I'm John Fleming.